Who he? WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how about a movie tonight, huh?
Wow, what's that aftershave you're wearing?
You high karate aftershave is so powerful, it drives women right out of their minds. That's why we have to put instructions on self-defense in every package. High karate, the brisk splash-on aftershave that smooths and soothes and cools. High karate, aftershave, cologne, and gift sets. High karate.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Without your listenership, you'd never be able to hear us. Just listen and we'll do all the work.
Thank you.
That was not funny. Don't you stop laughing. That ain't funny.
The clap? The hurt? The sif?
Crabs?
Okay.
The home for tolerance. The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Charlie. Well, what have we here?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting it in his mouth.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now!
Okay. Yeah, I just remembered I'm doing what we tell listeners not to do. Did you sneak in a Paul Scofield when we were interviewing Shatner?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Charlie.
Yes, I did, just in the background. Yes.
Thank you, Charlie.
I heard that. Yes, your audience will love this.
Slightly. Hi, everybody. This weekend, let me tell you about Atlantic City.
I'm very curious.
I'm curious. So as I was mentioning to you before, we got in the car, we're going to go to AC, going to have a nice weekend with my girlfriend, her brother, and his wife, girlfriend, whatever they are. And then at the last minute, Janet's former CEO, some uptight business guy from Philadelphia, she's on the phone with him, and it's somehow work-related.
Now, uptight was not a word used to describe this guy prior to the weekend.
Yeah. Well, that was my summation after I spent a couple of choice hours with him.
Nice. Very good.
She said to him, oh, we're going to be in Atlantic City. He said, we're going to be in Atlantic City at the same time. She said, because it's what you say after you've already let the cat out of the bag, you're going to be somewhere where we should get together.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when you say that to someone, you go, okay, well, give me your cell and maybe we'll hook up when we get up there.
Right.
No, this guy wanted to make definite plans. Mm-hmm. So what happened was,
and incidentally, that is the way to handle that circumstance. If you say, oh yeah, give me your number, if we can do it, we'll give you a holler when we're up there.
So we had a pretty nice weekend for four planned, which became a weekend for six. Mm-hmm. And I have to be careful about this guy that used to be Janet's boss. She had described him kind of like Michael Scott. He's smarter than that character on The Office.
I would hope so.
Really?
I truly would hope. Are you sure that that's giving him a compliment?
But just barely.
Oh, no. Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you here. So we're in the lobby of the hotel, and we're waiting for him to show up. And he comes through, and he walks through the rounding, you know, the revolving doors.
Right. He walks into the glass.
And right away, I spot him. I see him get out of the car, and I say to Janet, and there's 8 million people coming into this hotel casino. I said, is that him? And she said, how did you know? And I'll tell you how I knew. Because he got out of the cab with that cock of the walk rooster look. He got out of the cab like, hey, it's me. Because I'm here. Everything is happening now. I'm one of these guys.
So let me see that. You have judged him inside. This may be an all-time.
Yeah.
Like, this might be a record. You haven't even spoken to him yet.
I, I've already been, the jury has been tainted.
Because you're hearing the dialogue between him and her, right?
Janet's already told me the guy's a tool.
Oh, okay, so you have that preconception of the guy.
But we have to be polite to him because she still has, in some regards, some business relationship with this guy.
So he gets out of the cab, he's in a cab?
Yeah, he's in a cab.
And he gets out of the cab kind of like, isn't this great?
He was at a different hotel than we were at, and he and his wife get out of the cab, and I spot him right away. He's got suspenders on. He looks like he's in the movie Boiler Room. He's dressed.
Okay.
He's dressed 10 years ago. He's got on the power blue shirt with the white collar and a red tie and big, thick brown suspenders.
And this is on a Saturday, right? So he's not cash, which you kind of should be in AC on a Saturday.
He had some biz to take care of.
He's doing the business thing.
A working weekend for him. So I spotted him right away, and he came up, and we're in the lobby. It's very loud. And he goes, Janet, there she is. What a salesperson. Oh, and he comes up, and he gives me a hug. And then to me, now I don't know this guy from Adam, right? He goes, and you, shock jock, Howard Stern, come on.
Oh, my God.
So right away.
You're thrilled.
That was his greeting?
Well, he that was his only knowledge.
So he's just being the showboat guy right away.
Yeah. He didn't mean, like, when he said Howard Stern, he didn't mean it like a put-down.
No.
It's like.
But he's saying this kind of loudly.
Very loudly. Okay. Very loudly. And it was at this point, this is why I really like Janet's brother. He just turned and walked away.
Oh.
He just left.
Good for him.
Just like, this guy's a stain, I don't want to be around him.
We're standing there. Once we get past all the yelling and screaming, we're going like, hi, it's nice to meet you. This is Janet. This is my boyfriend, Mike. I go, hi, how you doing? There we go. And this is my brother. Where'd he go?
Didn't want to be part of it.
He was just here a moment ago.
Uh-huh.
We called to his cell phone, and she leaves, and she goes, oh, let me call him and see where he went. She calls, and she goes back, and she says, well, they got tied up with something. Turns out what Janet's brother said to her, in essence, was, I didn't come to Atlantic City to be with some guy that's going to walk in. And trust me, the guy walked in like a little kid at his bar mitzvah. I mean, it was like.
Like it's all about him.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And just all the jewelry, the power shirt, everything else. And as we are standing there, and he says, okay, so going to see Regis. That's great. We're set for this. He's very excited. I swear to God, the next thing out of his mouth was, I got to be a little careful tonight because I just threw up some spinach salad.
Ooh. Oh, so he's just in control of the world. He doesn't care what he says. This is a guy who gets his way a lot. Did you get that impression?
Yeah.
Worth a few bucks, probably.
Yeah. So he announced that he had thrown up some spinach salad.
Nice.
Shrimp salad.
Both great.
And I said, ugh. Why would you want to discuss that? And he said, and he's one of these guys, came over by me and he said, hey, come on. That's right up your alley, right? And he did this thing. Mike, I know this gets you too. Robbie, come here for a second.
Okay.
He goes, hey, come on. That's right up your alley.
Oh, the backhand of the chest.
And he gave me one of these backhands in my chest that was like this.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, what a fun guy.
It's all about fun.
So you're in love right away.
I'm standing there just looking at this guy. I said, so you upchucked, huh? And he goes, yeah, you don't know what it is about Atlantic City. You got to get the right place. You know, my wife Shelley wants to go to the all-you-can-eat barbecue, and it's like, hold on, my BlackBerry's going off. Hold on, I'm being paged. I'm not getting reception. What, Bill? Big deal? Yeah, I'll be right there. Hey, guys, I'll be right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything with this guy uptight. I said, we got about 2 hours till the show. Why don't we go gamble a little bit? And this was the reason that I quit gambling. I had $300. I'm going to play $25 hands of blackjack. Mm-hmm. I told Janet that if I played my cards right, I'd be able to double my money. I'd be really happy. Well, this guy and his wife and Janet came over by the blackjack table with me, and he didn't play. He stood behind, and every time I lost a hand, he would say very loudly, oh, you almost had it.
I'm going to kick his ass. I swear to God, I'm going to kick the guy's ass. I'll tell you, you've sold it.
And I think I mentioned to you that I had an incredible run of bad luck. including one time I had, in five hands in a row, there had to be four pushes out of five. And this guy, loud enough to be heard.
Guys reacting to your hands?
On a Saturday night in Atlantic City when they are lining up four deep to get at this table.
Yes.
This guy was standing there and he's going, push! What are the odds of this? You didn't win. You didn't lose. I mean, I'm turning around.
What now? Now, why isn't he? Now, he obviously knows the game, but he's choosing not to gamble. Not a gambler. Did he? Was it ever brought up? Was it ever mentioned?
He also mentioned that quite a few times.
He doesn't gamble.
I don't gamble.
Great. Welcome to Atlantic City.
Except on shrimp salad.
Oh my God!
So at this point, Jan's brother is out. He's gone.
Yeah, sure.
And it's the four of us going over to Regis, and we got to Bally's where Susan Lucci was the opening act. And we sat down with the stained guy and his wife, and I sat through literally the longest 40 minutes of my life. The drinks could not have been more watered down.
Are you talking about the show or before the show when he's you're talking about the Lucci performance?
Every moment I spent with this guy is a minute I'm never going to get back again. But just down to when we got to Bally's to see Regis Philbin with Susan Lucci.
So that's how the show's structured? She opens up?
She comes out first. And, of course, he was acting like, you know, Bruce Springsteen, Joan Baez, Janis Joplin, the Rolling Stones, where there was like this guy was like, incredible! Is she good? No, what she's doing is that whole clang, clang, clang goes the trolley.
She's doing show tunes. Well, all right, let me ask you this. The composition of the audience, because I'm very curious. Yeah. At Bally's, one of the older casino hotels down there, not a bad place, but I was curious.
Smelled
really
like Depend undergarments in there.
The buses had arrived.
It had the smell of old people and also the smell of baby powder.
And the composition of the audience was blue hair, primarily?
And we were the young kids in the crowd.
Sure.
So as we are...
Are you set up at, like, the bad tables, like at a Vegas show, where you're supposed to feel like you're at a table, but it's about the size of a poker chip?
No, actually, we had a very nice table that was about three rows from where all the action was.
Okay.
So, really, if you're going to enjoy a casino hotel show, you need a banquette.
We had very nice...
I agree.
A banquette is the way to go, baby.
Two-drink minimum?
I don't even know, Rob, because at that point, when we got there, as soon as we got there, I said... I was just such a dick by the time we got there. I said, well, I don't even care what everybody else wants. Listen, here's what I need right now. I need a double. I need a double of Grey Goose. If you don't have Grey Goose, I don't care. I need vodka now.
Had you gotten any of the free hooch when you were gambling? Had you gotten a chance to knock any back then?
Mike, you know how it is in Atlantic City on a Saturday night.
Oh,
it was so
impossible.
Crowded. Yeah. Forget it. So she brings by the booze 15 minutes before Lucci goes on. And I take it, and it's like drinking tap water.
Yeah.
Now, this is my problem.
Not exactly a heavy pour.
No. Now, this guy takes his grasshopper, or whatever it is that he ordered, right?
Brandy Alexander.
And he's like, continuing in a marvelous, I'm a business executive.
So is he monopolizing the conversation?
Oh, yeah. It's all about him and the car that he's got and the remote control airplane that he's got and... And what about the beautiful watch that he's got? And Janet's quite a salesperson. Of course, she wouldn't be a good salesperson if she didn't learn from him. And he was blah, 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 blah. And at that point, I put my hand up again, waiting for the waitress. And they're all just talking. And finally, she made her way over, and I said, hi, I'm going to need at least two more of these. And please, if they're going to be weak like this, bring me three. So she said, okay. She came back, and she brought, just for me...
Three drinks?
Three more drinks.
So you've got three drinks in front of you?
Yes.
And are they supposedly doubles?
Mike, they sure didn't drink like it, they didn't taste like it, and they didn't give me the results like it, because I went like this. Thank you very much. One, two, three, and I went, ha! Nothing.
You think maybe it's the stress level? It's just not able to blast through the stress level of dealing with this guy. And I have to ask, the celebrity this guy most resembled, if you are in any way capable of generating, because, I mean, you're saying Boiler Room. Did he have the hair slicked back at all? Or
you know the guy in Boiler Room, the guy that had the yellow Lamborghini?
Yes. The black-haired guy?
Pretty much a dead ringer.
Oh, my God.
Pretty much mannerisms and really? Everything. Huh. You know.
Super slick.
Super slick. Mm-hmm. Guy wanted to spend a lot of the night telling me what it's like to work in the inner city.
Yeah.
That I don't know what it's like to work in a city. When he leaves his building in Philadelphia, that's a city.
Yeah.
I go out in the city. I get it done. I got people coming up to me on the street. You wouldn't know anything like that. Where do you work? Janet tells me you work. Where? Where do you work? In Maryland? Like, yes, yes. It's nothing like Philadelphia.
I work in the suburbs.
It's nothing like Philadelphia.
What the hell does that have to do with anything? Is
Mike,
it
was just part of the entire weekend.
Oh, God.
So
he's a salesman, is he?
Yeah.
First and foremost.
The greatest part, I'll get to the end of this. We got to hit a break. So finally, I'm just waiting for Regis to come out. And Janet knows what I'm going to do. And at this point, she even said to me, whatever you do, just don't embarrass us.
Yeah.
But she was for it. She said, just do anything.
And at this point, you really don't care anyway.
We need some entertainment. So they go, ladies and gentlemen, Bally's presents Regis Philbin. And he comes out. And he does the opening song, which I believe was, is there a song called Pennies from Heaven?
Pennies yes. from Heaven. Every time it rains, pennies it. From heaven.
And I swear to you, God. I swear to you, he gets done, and there's a huge round of applause, place is packed. And just when it got quiet for a moment, I went, Joey! And there was a moment and I said, safe home! Janet gave me a look that was like, what are you doing? The guy looks at me like, you're heckling Regis Philbin.
Yes.
Regis Philbin says, Joey Bishop, yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah. Tough time. You know, the first time that I ever sang on Joey's show was when he asked me to sing because we had Perry Como as a guest, and Joey asked me to sing. Yes, it was a tough weekend. We lost Joey.
He didn't miss a beat.
He went right by it.
How much of Regis's show is singing and how much is talking?
I don't know.
You don't know you left?
I left.
After that?
After that, when he started his second.
What was your total time commitment to the Regis part of the show?
Less than 6 minutes.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Less than 6 minutes.
Did you
minutes.
Leave them there?
We left them there.
You and Janet left them there?
Yes, we did.
Wow.
She said that she had an upset stomach.
Oh, my God.
She was L-Y-I-N-G.
Did you now? Wait a minute. Hold on. When she said she had an upset stomach, were you in her ear a little bit? Were you telling me you have an upset stomach? Tell me, Gilly.
Oh no, it was like that unspoken thing. Mm-hmm. It was uncomfortable. We both needed an out, and I even had said to her on more than one occasion, "Listen, I'm definitely going to say something to Regis now. I'm definitely going to at least scream out Joey Bishop because otherwise, this is a wasted weekend.
Right?
What am I going to do? Just come back and talk about this guy? So."
Way to go. That's dedication to the show. Sure I appreciate is. That.
Did it. Got it done. Sat down. And again, this is where the guy's like a tool. So I sit down and I had that, that real nervous.
Right.
Like, I've just done an incredible goof, but they don't know it was an incredible goof.
Right.
The guy says, so, big aficionado of Regis and Kathy Lee. And now we had discussed this over drinks. Before we went to the show.
Right, he knew the whole thing.
Right, and it was very loud. And I'm looking at him going, yes! Yes, I am! Big fan! Look at her, and the right of that about that, she says, oh! Ah. You know, my stomach is just not...
She was wanting to get you out of there before you and this guy came to blows.
No, she wanted to get her out of there, too.
Right,
The guy.
How about the lady here? What's the lady like? You haven't even mentioned her.
That is because she was sauced from the time she got out of the car till the time we left the two of them at the round table for four at Bally's.
The portrait is complete.
Big, sloppy drunk.
Big.
Yeah, I mean, B-I-G.
Sounds like fun.
Do you suppose that she drinks because of him?
Oh, she drinks and eats because of him.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But at least you got to see Jenny's side.
She have big hair?
Kind of big. Yeah. Medium big.
Good.
Almost like coffee cake hair.
Yeah. I forgot they're Philly. Yeah, Philly, what's it to you?
Philly's just like Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And she's a combination of Jillian Barbary and Judith Light.
Wow.
Okay. Some roots were there, I take it.
Yeah.
You got to look at some roots.
So we ended up leaving Bally's at about 9:17. I take it back. It was later than that. It was 10:17 because we sat through all the Susan Lucci crap.
Right.
And then we got out of there.
Incidentally, Susan Lucci, in person, would you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She looked strong?
Yeah, she looked good. She looked good. Or as the guy said, she looks just like on TV.
He sounded really? Like fun.
Really?
He sounded like
nice
fun.
Suspenders. Ass.
Well, a good time was had by all. And I guess by your departure time, you didn't linger at your casino. Did you do any more gambling when
no.
you got back?
No, at that
point.
It
was to bed, what a day?
At that point, both of us were fed up, and yeah. we just went to bed. We got up with the grandiose thought that we were going to go to the Redskins game yesterday.
Right.
That we were going to go right from Atlantic City on almost no sleep to the Redskins game. We got up at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
We left Atlantic City at 5:30, and it was about 7 a.m. that I said, you better drive. Yeah. And that's all I remember.
Wow.
It was sleepy time.
Oh, man. Well, it sounds like you might have had a better time.
I think you called me from your home at like a little after 9 a.m.
Yeah, we flew back.
Yeah.
God. And I wasn't even up, and he'd already had a trip.
Yeah, you're leaving at 5:30 on a Sunday morning. That's definitely our paths crossing, going in different directions.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree.
If I was up there, it would be, five. Now I'd be in bed for an hour.
But know this, I did
on your way
very loudly, could not be mistaken. Joey, and then just a moment, then safe home.
And Regis picked up on it.
Of course he did.
Very nice.
And how about Regis? Did he look like he does on TV? Would you do him?
He looked like death.
How are you?
Tuxedo?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Was there an orchestra?
There was a 7-piece orchestra.
Uh-huh. Oh, a band.
And that guy.
What a cheesy show. Whoever the hell wants to see that?
Whoever the guy is all the time on his show taught him how to play piano.
Oh, I know who you mean.
That's his band leader.
Really?
I mean, this is all stuff that I would have known if I would have stayed, but I didn't stay.
It's the guy that he duets with on Marshmallow World, isn't it? On the Christmas album?
Oh, I don't know. He just identified.
It's a sunshine day.
That's the guy.
Oh, my God.
Just identified the guy as his band leader.
Well, I think you've proven one thing. If you're with someone you don't want to hang around with and you're at a Regis Philbin show, alcohol has no effect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It turns into water.
It turns into water, baby.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don.
Yeah. Hey, Mike. Hey, what's up?
Buzz. Hey, the last guest you had on there that was live. The female?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you notice anything about how many times she said this one word that you did a show on Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
She never said whatnot.
Not no, what I'm talking about you know.
She didn't completely abuse it.
Oh, you know. I'll bet you she didn't say that word 100 times.
You know.
In that interview. You know.
Yeah, but the you know is not.
You know.
The you know is not used so much that we hit the alarm. The whatnot will get an alarm.
Now, the you know is almost embraced when we're talking about the guys from American Chopper who can't seem to say one sentence without you know.
Yeah, well, in the interview with her, it just about got to the point.
Why must you be so critical?
Haven't you learned anything from us that you never criticize?
Please.
Right. I wasn't even thinking.
Why don't you just tell us what
momentarily lapse of reasoning right there.
Yes. Yeah. Why don't you just tell us what a magnificent job that was by us with her.
Well, it was a good interview. I
yes, of course
that
it was.
That,
all right, well, why don't you go get ready for your newscast, okay, Shepard?
Excessively.
Shepard Smith.
Basically.
And that's all the news for now.
Are you loaded?
No.
You're on something.
My feet.
As my father would say. Are you on drugs?
What not?
Are you a pothead fogger?
You know?
You know what? You just said you know.
Right.
Right.
Is this Don Wuganowski?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Oh, and one more thing from the weekend.
Hmm?
This is how pathetic our weekend was at Atlantic City. We wanted so badly to get away from this guy, we went to a movie on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, my God.
We could not shake him. It's like anywhere. You know that thing? It's like, where do you want to go? We were thinking about going to Caesars. Hey, so were we.
Well, of course, you were hot trot to see the movie, so it's not completely out of bounds.
But really,
but that's pretty, going
you don't
to a
go
movie.
All the way to Atlantic City to see Michael Clayton.
You drove up on Saturday, right?
Yes, we did.
Because I was looking at my watch at about 3 o'clock, and I said, well, Don's going to
yes,
be getting to the tables just about now.
3 o'clock is when we got to the movies.
And so no dinner? No sit-down dinner?
Not with those people.
Wow.
We were going to eat after the show.
Oh, okay.
Right? We had drinks
that
before the
That didn't happen?
No.
Little RS?
Total RS. Total room service.
All right. Well, next time, I hope it's a better time for you. Well, you know what? As a matter of fact, maybe I can guarantee it.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey.
What?
Hey, while you're describing that guy getting out of the car, all I could think of was Lumbered from Office Space with the blue shirt and the white collar and the red tie.
Yeah, there was some of that. I know who you're talking about, but really he was much more. You got to go back like 10 years in time.
Gordon Gekko.
Somewhere between Gordon Gekko and Donald Trump now.
Yeah, it's hard to find those white collars and the blue shirts.
Robert Kraft still dresses like
yes,
that.
Yes, he does. They're still around. I mean, those shirts still exist.
So when we went to this movie, Michael Clayton, here's what happened. We had been up there, and these people was like, everything we wanted to do. Want to go to Caesars? Yeah, we were thinking about that. We're thinking about going to the IMAX theater. So were we. Well, actually, we're thinking about maybe just going and doing some gambling. So were we.
Well, so he got out of the car, you met them, and then you were able to duck them in the afternoon?
No, we met them when we first got up there.
Right.
And they were staying at one hotel, and we were staying at another hotel.
Okay.
So we got together, and then we shook them for a while when we went to the movies. And the only thing I want to tell you about Michael Clayton is if you go see that movie,
yes,
it's outstanding. Don't waste the last 5 minutes. There's no trick ending.
You mean leave before the movie's over?
No. Well, when the movie's over, when George Clooney's face is on the screen at the very end of the movie.
All right.
When it says directed by Steven Soderbergh, go ahead and leave.
Right there.
Don says he's not ruining the movie for anybody by telling him he's providing a public service.
I swear to God, because there will be people like my girlfriend and most of the idiots in this theater
that don't want to linger.
Well, they think something else is coming.
Did you feel that way when it started, that something else was going
to
happen?
No, I felt like saying to everyone in the theater, first off, there's not going to be a trick ending because the movie is over.
Mm-hmm.
Second, what do you think? Like they're going to show crazy outtakes?
Right.
Like something about Mary?
Sure.
No. It's the last 5 minutes are simply George Clooney in a cab, and that's it.
Okay.
And everybody's sitting there waiting, and all of the credits are in a little box directly to his right.
And how old is Something About Mary now? Is it 10 years old yet? Is it about 10 years old?
About 10 months.
You want to talk about a movie that holds up. I mean, you got to give it to those Farrelly brothers.
Sure.
I hadn't seen it in that many years, really. I have the DVD, but I was watching it, and it's all over. Do the Farrelly brothers have another movie out now? Because I wonder, when you see a movie suddenly surface on cable.
I know what it is, the Ben Stiller movie.
It's the Ben Stiller. The Heartbreak Kid.
Right.
That's why they're running it. And I'm talking about Unhinging the Jaws, funny. Still, after all these years, a very, very funny movie. I love that movie.
Well, I'll tell you the payoff that I hope you won't stay for in Michael Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
The movie itself.
Is this like part of the plot?
No. The movie's over.
Right.
The movie has played out.
Gotcha.
And in the very last scene of the movie, George Clooney gets in a cab to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera is just on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And the credits start to come up. And I say to Jan, let's go. And I see other people that are in various stages. It's like To Tell the Truth. You know, it was like you would stand up and say, my name is. No, my name is.
Start to stand
no, my
up.
Name is. Everybody's up and down. 5 minutes of him looking in the camera until finally he goes, just a little bit of a wink, just a little bit of a smile, and that's it.
That's when you achieved.
Both ways. Front.
At that very moment.
Front and back.
Well, I wish you your next trip to Atlantic City that no one drives you into the movie theater.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Buzz?
Yes.
How are you anyway?
I'm doing well.
All right, we'll get to the news here. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, gents. How's it going?
Hey, what's happening?
Listen, I wanted to tell you, your female guest, I can't really pronounce her name correctly, but...
Melora.
Yeah. She is in the Iron Eagle movie from the mid-80s, and you get to see her when she's like 20 years old. H-A-B, my friend.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Yeah.
Is Louis Gossett Jr. in those movies?
Yeah, he played Chappie.
Yeah, right.
That's okay. Kind of like, was that a Top Gun ripoff?
Little bit? No, in fact, it may have preceded Top Gun.
Did it precede Top Gun?
I think that was first,
not sure.
Actually.
But I got to run, guys. Hey, Mike, all night long, you chick, 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 chick.
Right,
thank
get
you.
Get out of here.
Pierre, that man, his money.
All right, Buzz's news coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.